Welcome to From the Boardroom to the Bedroom, the Protocol Praxis with your host, Suzanne Z. Pedro. This program will catapult your awareness in the mastery of power, influence, and persuasion. Journey to the uncharted conversations of human interactions and discover your winning capital. Now, from the boardroom to the bedroom with Suzanne Z. Pedro.
Good day, everybody. I hope everybody had a spectacular 4th of July. As you can see, I've lost my voice, or I'm in the process of losing it. And my goodness, I guess that's because I speak so much. If I was a taxi cab and being charged for every word, I guess I'd be in the Gobi Desert right now with a sum of a bill that I could never pay. But anyway, please bear with me. I'm glad you're here. And today, there's so much that I want to talk about with mind-body connection that you just really can't escape it. Before you even think of an emotion like love, anger, power, your brain has already synthesized, experienced it, and then allows you to have the feeling, and thus it signals, you know, for the cues for you to act with. Today, in our modern day and age, with you know, the overload of all the technical iPads, iPhones, and 24 hours news cycle, and with watching, we get such overload, sensory overload of just watching that, the pain, suffering, and war raging around the world, around us, that we look towards as a society that we have a belief, whether it be mentally or physical ailments, in the pharmaceutical wonder pill, that you just pop the pill and everything's wonderful. But more and more people are seeing that that just doesn't work, that we are looking as a society more to a natural healing as well as to attract the opposite sex. I mean, believe it or not, we don't have to just be physically attractive and gear up like that. There are natural ways to appeal to the opposite sex. So both of my guests, Bobby Bickford and Amanda Turner, will have some unique keys to unlock the mysteries of personal, natural healing, and seduction for enrichment and personal empowerment. My first guest, Bobby Bickford, who by popular demand is back, because last week we were going through the different types of empowerment in the boardroom, in the corporate world, and in sales, how to use aroma as a way of increasing awareness, power, sales. And today, the interest was more on emphasizing the bedroom. So my guest, Bobby, are you with me?
I am with you.
Hi, would you introduce yourself?
Yes, this is Bobby Bickford again, a returning guest from last week's show, and I just want to thank you for the opportunity for allowing me to be able to return.
Oh, thank you.
As the listeners know from last week that we're able to tune in, we covered a lot of information in the effects of aroma in the human workplace, in the business world, the shopping, in hospitals and such. And this week, I kind of want to focus on the effects of aroma on the sexual arousal.
Oh, that ought to be interesting.
I think it will be. Hopefully so, anyway. But recent evidence has indicated that the sense of smell, it has a system that functions much like that of the animals, and it allows certain scents to stimulate the hypothalamus and other brain areas in a different manner than do normal scents. Fragrant oils and incense have been used in nearly every religion and culture for thousands of years. And from the primal days on into our modern times, science had been used in seduction as an aphrodisiac. Aromatherapy is a natural aphrodisiac that works to calm, soothe, stimulate, reduce stress, you know, remove negative energy. And it's actually defined as the inhalation of essential oils distilled from plants. And the essential oils in aromatherapy are volatile, which means that they rapidly evaporate and travel into the body via the lungs and the nose, producing a quick and powerful effect on the body.
Well, let me ask you this. What are the means and modes of getting it out there? Is smelling the only way to get aromatherapy? Or are there any other methods?
Oh, yeah. Essential oils are in... they're usually directly inhaled, or they're diluted and used in such things as lotions or body massage oils. And also the aerial diffusion, you know, to fragrance a room, or even to use to remove a foul odor, you know, to overpower the foul odor, or even to disinfect.
So you're saying you can apply it topically to yourself?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
And one thing you need to remember, if you are using the pure essential oils, that if applied topically, they do need to, by all means, have another mode of application. They need to be diluted with oils such as your olive oils or, you know, those type oils, so that, you know, to reduce the potency.
Maybe that explains why here in the United States, I mean, like in France and most of Western Europe, I mean, aromatherapy is really, really a big deal out there, that it's really into mainstream medicine. I heard it as an antiseptic, antiviral, antibacterial, et cetera, and in some cases in France, you have to have, it's used by prescription only to be administered by a doctor. So we way far behind, I would say.
Yeah, and probably some of the significant reasons for that is that these oils, they are safe to use if used properly. But say, for instance, if you have an allergy or allergies, if you suffer from hay fever, asthma, skin conditions, you know, you have the eczema and psoriasis, you have to be extremely cautious, especially if you suffer from epilepsy. There's things such as high blood pressure, deep vein thrombosis.
That makes sense.
If you're breastfeeding, or especially if you're pregnant, you know, you want to be cautious. They usually are not known to be deadly, but there could be effects that could be negative. So they do need to be used with caution.
That makes sense. I mean, you know, if it has a positive effect for some people, I mean, there's some on the flip side, there's got to be some negative effects, like you just mentioned, you know, for some people, especially epilepsy. Yeah, that could trigger. Like sometimes if you smell a food, you know, and you had a memory that you got sick on it, you never want to see that food again. So I'm sure that makes sense.
On the same hand, smelling a food that you enjoy triggers that desire to eat.
Oh yeah, so true.
But most of these reactions, they'll tend to be mild, and they're not generally long lasting. Typically, they include like nausea, headache, you know, minor allergic reactions. But you know, you still need to use care and caution with them. Their essential oils are derived from citrus and they make the skin more sensitive to ultraviolet light, you know, making the person more susceptible to sunburn. Some oils will change the effectiveness of the conventional medicines if you're on particular meds that are prescribed by a doctor. So you want to be sure to check with a qualified pharmacist or your doctor, you know, someone in the know that would be able to guide you safely in the use of aromatherapies without any, you know, the thing is to try to not trigger any negative effects. We want to keep these all positive. It is such an incredible thing to be able to work with the aromatherapies. And also, people need to keep in mind that there's many, many different grades of oil on the market. They're readily available to the public. But unfortunately, like a lot of other things, these oils can be low grade. You know, some of them may be contaminated with harsh solvents. And that those could possibly cause adverse and severe reactions.
How do you know? Are they labeled, or do you know? I mean, or you say it goes by a grading level.
Yeah, there are grading levels, but you also have to, you know, make sure that you're dealing with a reputable company who supplies these oils, or, you know, a chain store or wherever you may purchase from. You just, you know, want to make sure that they are reputable and not an underhanded trying to pass off something that is not safe.
I see. Yeah. I mean, I've even seen that in different teas and vitamins where it's not really regulated by the FDA, because it's not really, aromatherapy is not really a drug like, you know, they, like I just mentioned in France. So a lot of people can get away with manufacturing subpar, or you get additives like you mentioned.
Oh, yeah. There's so much involved in the world of aromatherapy. It's just impossible to cover everything in you know, the short segments that we have here today. But I wanted to get a little bit into the aspect of you know, pheromones or it's a chemical signal released from from one person, and it triggers a response in another. The male hormone, today I'm having issues with my words, but the male pheromone ever have those issues?
Oh, yeah, I know what you're saying. Anyway, it's called in the medical journals A1. Let's just say A1 is, and I can't even pronounce it even myself. It's one of those long, long endosterone, whatever. Excuse me.
Endosterone,
okay,
I think, is the way I've pronounced it. And
yeah.
There's a female endosterol. And they're subtle, usually undetectable scents that cause some men and women to feel attracted to each other.
Well, Bobby, let me ask you this. We're getting ready to go to a break, and when we come back, could you help tell the audience about maybe how we can use those different pheromones to help stimulate or to attract the other person?
So without a doubt, we'll cover that.
Okay, great. We go on a break, and we're back with Bobby Bickford. Thank you.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Are you a business innovator, or are you just sitting on the sidelines? Tune in every week for Coffee Break with Game Changers, presented by SAP. Host Bonnie D. Graham talks to a cross-section of the movers and shakers who are leading by example. They will share best practices and innovative ideas to keep you thinking and moving along with the best. Join us for Coffee Break with Game Changers, presented by SAP, Wednesday mornings at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Have you ever noticed that sometimes life just feels easier? Especially when judgment of you or anyone else ceases to exist? What if you could function from that space all the time? What if gratitude is the key? Every time you are grateful for someone or something, a new universe opens up. What difference can you create in your life and the world from the energy, space, and consciousness of gratitude? Join us on Access Consciousness Presents Beyond Saying Thank You every Tuesday at 12 noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings of the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our wall. Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed.
VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
This is From the Boardroom to the Bedroom, the Protocol Praxis with Suzanne Z. Pedro. To reach the show today, give us a call at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You can also send us an email anytime to protocolpraxis@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Hi, we're back with Bobby Bickford, and I just got a little messenger in my ear, and it's Andros Statione, but better known as A1 or Dione, because most people cannot pronounce it. So don't feel bad, Bobby. You and I can't get that word across, so we'll just reference it to as A1.
Okay, that works for me. Okay. It's a word I've used before, but it is a tongue twister. But anyway, it's one of the most widely used pheromones used in the commercial products. And two of the odors that may be involved in the sexual arousal through the use of brain imaging techniques, it's been shown that homosexual and heterosexual men respond differently. Hmm. It also showed that gay men exhibit the same response to the specific odor as a woman does. And until recently, it was assumed that that humans lacked an animal's ability to so-called pheromone signaling for sexual and reproductive purposes. Mm-hmm. But evidence now shows that the humans and animals do have the ability to function similarly. And it allows certain sense to stimulate the hypothalamus and other brain areas in a different manner than do, just a normal sense. Our Western culture, too, and its hygiene habits, they're thought to decrease the sexual attraction due to the sexually charged pheromones being washed off the body. I recently read an article about sweat, and it stated that when we exercise, we sweat through the endocrine glands, but when we are embarrassed or sexually excited, we sweat through apocrine glands. These apocrine glands release the high-density steroids under the arms and around the genitalia. In subhuman primates, same apocrine today, me and my words, apocrine glands release pheromones. If these glands function similarly in humans, this might also explain why when a woman raises her arms to or above her head, exposing her armpits, her gesture is considered sexually provocative. I just found that to be interesting.
In body language, yeah. That and like when they, you expose your, as a female, expose your wrist. And where do they always tell you to put perfume growing up on your wrist, remember? Behind your ears. Because when you stretch your neck or you, in back, going to the animal instinctual, when you showed your neck to another, if you were a mammal, one mammal to another, and showed your neck, that you weren't as a they weren't as scared of you. They knew that you were vulnerable, and that's how it became with the perfume and the aromatherapy. Now, exhibiting the sexual connotations, from the animals. Yes.
Yeah. Did you realize that the glands in the armpit and the genitalia areas that they start producing pheromones at puberty? The sense of smell relays these scents and messages to the limbic part of the brain, and that controls the basic human emotions, and one of those emotions being sexual arousal. And this hormone-like smell of pheromones, it turns on the brain's hypothalamus, which is normally not activated by regular odors. It leads researchers to believe that there are two separate human odor sensing systems: the subliminal sensing of pheromone sense and the direct smelling of the conscious sense, such as lavender and sandalwood, pumpkin pies and such. In one study measuring the brain responses to various pheromones, the gender differences were definitely noted. The women's hypothalami became activated when they smelled a testosterone-like chemical, but not to an estrogen-like substance. The men generally responded to the estrogen-like chemical, but not to the testosterone. And women did show a much higher sensitivity to certain male pheromones, particularly around ovulation, but not all the pheromones were equally attractive either. The androstenol, a male pheromone, it's the scent produced by the fresh male sweat, and studies mm-hmm. show that women are attracted to this scent, but however, the sweat that lingered on our body for an extended period of time, this produces the androstenone pheromone, and most of the women perceive this as an unpleasant smell.
Well, that reminds me, Bobby, of a study I read not too long ago, and it was a broad study. It wasn't just like 100, but I think it was like somewhere like 1,000 strippers, pole dancers, and they did it where the women were ovulating, they were not ovulating, and they were past ovulation. But anyway, the bottom line was the women that were ovulating got tipped more, and that goes to then the men being able to pick up on that basic instinctual sense of smell.
That's interesting. That's one of the studies that slipped by me. I didn't see that one. But the various studies, I mean, there's been so much study, even on the psychological evidence of the importance of odors in our sexual excitation, and they find that to be twofold. And you know, such as breathing from the mouth during the sexual excitation is evidence of the nasal engorgement and maximizes the contact with stimulants and pheromones. And secondly, the olfactory ability in women generally better than that of men at its peak during the ovulation. It perhaps to detect any pheromones present, making the smell much more acute.
And that also goes to the selection process of your mate. And that's why I've always heard, what's the millionaire matchmaker? I can't think of her name right now. But she always insists the first kiss, French kiss. And some people would go, no, nay, nay. But what you're saying is the closer you get to breathing somebody's, you know, salivary, the odor, it's a determinant whether you're sexually attracted or not.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Actually, in that same study, it was found that pheromones, they may not only be sexual attractants, but also they're territorial markers, you know, such as when, I mean, we all probably have seen or have had dogs, they establish their dominance in their yard by urinating there.
Right.
And in the study of a man's college dormitory room, a postulated male pheromone was placed in a specific toilet stall, and the men tended to avoid those stalls where the postulated male pheromones were placed.
Huh.
And it seems suggestive, you know, that the scent and the effect of a territorial marker. It was also interesting to note that the women who reside or work in close proximity, they tend to have synchronized ovulation cycles, and that indicates a pheromone released by one woman that it may entertain the others in a pattern of dominance. You know, just such interesting facts.
Wow. I mean, I've always heard of that, you know, growing up, you know, and especially mm-hmm. with men that had a whole house full of women, they say they always on their period at the same time, but I never knew the really physiological implications that how very true that was. And
yeah,
just explain
and there's
the
a lot more to look into with this, but I mean that's touching the basics. There's lots of knowledge that I could pass on, but you know, due to our limited time, I'm just touching on some of the basics so that you know this. If this
sure.
sparks your interest, it gives you something to think about and look at. Another study was done. It was I think they used 31 males in this, and they subjected them to I think it was like 30 different odors. They were trying to observe the ability of certain aromas to enhance the libido.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting to note that the combined scents of the lavender and pumpkin pie, they produced a 40% increase in the penile blood flow. This was just very interesting. And in the same study, the measuring of the genital blood flow, women responded to the baby powder. Secondly, they responded to, believe it or not, a cucumber scent, you know, the scent of the mm-hmm. cucumber, and then licorice, lavender, and then followed by the pumpkin pie scent. They think that the baby powder scent is most likely an associative response. It's hypothesized that women, they subliminally associate the scent of the baby powder with, the cute little precious little babies, and they all want one, and therefore it increases the vaginal blood flow and the sexual interest.
Yeah.
Who would have thought baby powder, but even the scent of that,
Wow. I wonder, would you suggest to a man to...
last week you had... made the comment that it would be great if aromas could be used to affect the human mind or body, to be used in such a way as to rid our nation of our terrorism and crime, the natural acts of violence.
Right.
And as of right now, I'm not aware of any such possibility or probability, although, this would be an incredible accomplishment if it were possible. But I did remember that, what I do know is, in the study of these 31 men, no odor was found to reduce the penile blood flow, but it was hypothesized that such an odor might actually be found, that possibly it could be a trigeminal stimulant with a negative odor. it's thought that such an odor might be utilized to decrease the penile blood flow in the people such as sex offenders, pedophiles, as part of their deconditioning or aversion training.
You're right. You're absolutely
very,
right.
Very interesting information in this field, with the aromatherapy and pheromones, both.
I think what you're talking about is, I know that study, they would have the men look at, sexually graphic pictures, and then they would put at the same time in the room a really aversive, nasty odor. And so they would relate, like Pavlov's conditioning, and it was called aversive therapy. So you're right, that is so, so great. We're almost 2 minutes to the end, and I want to hear so much more. So what can you fit into my audience that you think they need to know?
Let me jot over some maybe of the basic scents that, the most widely used, such as, the basil scent. It's an aphrodisiac, and it was once considered to be one of the most important aphrodisiacs. Cooked cinnamon is awesome. It stimulates mainly the men, but even just the aroma of, throwing a few cinnamon sticks in a container of water and heating it on a low fire, just the aroma of the house is just amazing. Sandalwood and vanilla are some of the oldest used essential oils. And did you know that vanilla is a seed pod that comes from a type of orchid flower?
I have no clue. Wow.
Yeah. It's the vanilla. It's a relaxing aroma. It's considered to, as I said, one of the top aphrodisiac scents for both the men and the women. It's widely used as a perfume base too. And a little dab of vanilla behind the ears. They say that it still works wonders, just as it did in those pioneer days.
Well, thank you, Bobby. If you want to give the website, we had it out. I would love to be able to do that.
Okay, you can find me at www.friendshipflorist.com.
And, well, thank you, Bobby. I appreciate you had something to say. I'm sorry.
I wish the time didn't pass so fast. There's so much information to explore. But in closing, I would like to remind you people that aromatherapy, like all forms of treatment, can cause these adverse reactions, negative reactions. So I urge you to get some insight and knowledge of any of these essential oils before you actually use them. Pay attention to the...
Thank you so much.
All right. And I appreciate the opportunity to return to your show.
Okay. Thank you, Bobby Bickford.
All right. Thank you to all our listeners.
Bobby Bickford, thank you.
Thank you. And you have a good day.
You too.
Build your better business. Achieve that goal. Make good on that resolution. The Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. What sets apart VoiceAmerica.tv from the other video content providers on the Internet? Choice and flexibility means that you can host your video content live or on demand on the main VoiceAmerica.tv channels through your own branded media player or your own private TV channel. We support multiple media formats, so all of your video content can be in one place. We offer a number of advertising and video packages. For more information, visit VoiceAmerica.tv. If you think you've seen online TV like this before, let us surprise you.
Do you feel like sometimes you just don't know where to start with your health and fitness routine? Every week, you can hear from people who have been where you feel that you are right now and find out how they moved forward and are living their best lives ever. It's called Lifestyle 360, and your host is Nicole Monier. Get inspired to take control of your health and your life. Tune into Lifestyle 360 every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Have you figured out what's not working in your business and why? Could you use a little help? Join your host, Tamaran, for Let's Figure It Out Intimately. Tamaran was struggling with the same issue, so she hired other business coaches and experts to help her see what she couldn't. Her journey is to keep learning, and she is here to share this with you so that we can all keep working together. Let's Figure It Out Intimately. Airs live every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Build a better business. Achieve that goal. Make good on that resolution. The Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's your world. Motivate. Change. Succeed.
This is From the Boardroom to the Bedroom, the Protocol Praxis with Suzanne Z. Pedro. To reach the show today, give us a call at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You can also send us an email anytime to protocolpraxis@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Hi, my second guest today, I'm so proud to present Amanda Turner, and she will have to go through her list of accolades because it's way far beyond what I know, but I can say that she will guide you on a spiritual and mental body trip, healing, and I can barely pronounce the word. It's Ayurveda.
Yeah, that's it, Suzanne. Hi, this is Amanda.
Hi.
Well, yeah, you did it. It's Ayurveda. Ayu comes from the root in Sanskrit language for life. It means life. And Veda is, you know, knowledge or science or a learning. So it's really the knowledge and science of life. That's what it means, literally translated. But of course, it's a lot bigger than that. It really is. It's a holistic approach to self-knowledge and self-healing. So, but yeah, you said it right, and I'm glad you did that because a lot of people don't know how to say it. It's Ayurveda.
It's kind of threatening when you look at it. But I mean, I realized that you were born in England, and you have deep roots in history and choreography and ballet, and I'm wondering how you transitioned to this new spiritual counseling and healing that you do.
Yeah, it's pretty diverse, but really it's not. Yeah, I have a big background in dance. I started off as a professional ballet dancer and done a lot of dancing, and when I got to about, I don't know, after about 20 years of professional dance, I kind of had a bit of a crash in my own life, which wasn't just, it wasn't purely physical, you know, I wasn't injured or anything like that. One thing I wanted to talk to you about today was, because I noticed you mention it on your website, is one's emotional life and emotions. And, you know, at that time in my life, I had an emotional crash around everything in my personal life and in my work life. So my environment, my work environment, my personal environment were not healthy. They were not helpful.
And it spirals.
Yeah, and that's really what took me on this journey of self-healing and self-knowledge. I It was necessity, and also, you know, I just felt drawn to it. I had sort of had no choice in the matter, but it also has been incredibly valuable. And I realize most people hit some wall in their lives, whether it's in work or in a personal relationship, where they have bigger questions, you know, where they need to know more. And it really requires going inward. It really requires looking at your relationship with yourself.
And that's difficult to do sometimes.
And self-healing. You know, yeah. We can't have a relationship with anybody else if we don't have an intimate relationship with ourselves first.
Absolutely. And, I mean, all your training, I mean, you've been, you know, tutelaged under some of the really top people. And could you name a couple?
Well, in Ayurveda, I've really been blessed with amazing teachers, actually. You know, Dr. Vasant Lad is one of my Ayurvedic teachers, Robert Svoboda. I've had teachers in India, Satya Narayan Das for Indian psychology, Dr. Chauhan from the Jiva Institute, a whole bunch. There's really too many to name. And, you know, and I'm also at One Spirit in New York City, where I've been very blessed with some of the leading global authorities on interspirituality. So I've been very fortunate, Suzanne. I've just had the most incredible teachers. So I definitely feel this was part of my path and my calling. You know, they say when the student's ready, the teachers will appear.
Really? That is so chilling. I mean, because you sound like you have some very impressive people that, you know, you've studied under, that took you under their guidance, and you've, I can't wait to hear some of your wisdom and knowledge.
Yeah, they really have. And, you know, I have to say, I put it out there, too. It's like, I sort of knew what I needed to learn, we'll say, but it's also a heart path, you know. It's not just knowing in your brain, it's knowing in your heart that there's something you have to do. You know, there's different types of knowing. There's learning from a book, and then there's learning from the heart, and that's really what Ayurveda is about. You know, it's about knowledge and information and knowing yourself. And a lot of that comes to us on a vibrational level, you know. And again, that vibrational level is it's the emotional level. It's those layers outside of the body. We have this vibrational field,
Amanda.
And it can be a distant vibration. And as it gets closer to us, it becomes manifest. So there's, you know, that ties into your emotions a lot, you know. Like whatever mood you're in has a vibration to it.
And then that's what I understand creates your aura. I mean, because energies can't be destroyed. It's just reformed or reshaped, whatever. Matter, you know, energy never dies, right? It's just...
No, so what did you say energy is?
I said energy never dies. It's recreated.
No, the energy is ever-present, you see. So it's a question of transforming it, you know. It's like if somebody's angry, that they have a vibration about them. It's an anger has its own vibration, you know.
Okay.
And love has, you know, a very powerful vibration, as we all know. So, the biggest healing component is love and the vibration of love, and really finding that within ourselves first. Otherwise, it's just not going to happen, you know. I feel like once you've made that connection with yourself, then you can really share that, and you don't even know you're doing it, you know. Again, it's your vibrational field and how it affects others.
Is that a long process of being able to, everybody's individual, I understand that, but I mean, is it sometimes on a scale take, you know, maybe somebody years, and then other people that are more intuitive or whatever might be able to pick it up in a shorter time. Or it's just, I mean, it's, yeah, I'm not sure if I'm understanding.
Well, that's a really, really good question. I'm not sure either. I'm tempted on one hand to say it's a lifelong thing because it is a lifelong practice. Like, I don't think we're ever done learning. And I don't think we're ever done transforming information that comes to us, you know. On the other hand, yeah, it seems like for some people things can happen more quickly than others, you know. We have some people that are chasing, sort of it's like chasing a dream or chasing an idea or chasing the notion of enlightenment and doing all kinds of fanatical exercises and practices to get there, and may never happen for that person. And on the other hand, somebody can just be walking down the street and it happens. You know, that was my experience. So I don't think there's any simple answer to that question other than I think as long as one is able to or willing to enter a place of stillness, mm-hmm. and get rid of distraction, at least for a while, and go inside, then that, I think that facilitates it, you know. The problem is people continue to have these busy lives and they're looking outside of themselves for happiness, and
it's not there.
There's no stillness, so mm-hmm. they're really just the same old them, running around like a chicken without a head, you know? There's no inner change.
And that's what I was speaking earlier about, in the intro. Like, we bombarded constantly between all the technology, 24-hour news service. I mean, we can't get away to this... it's a conscious effort that we have to really abstract ourselves and find a process. And we're getting ready to go to a break in just yeah. about a minute. And I'd like to know, how do we begin the process?
Okay, after the break?
Yeah, we have about 30 seconds left.
Okay, that's a quick...
I know,
beginning. I just wanted to speak to what you just said about technology. I mean, it is a really great thing. We get to globally connect with others. Things get to move a lot quicker. But it also alleviates the gaps in between things. And I think a lot of the healing takes place in that knowledge of oneself takes place in the gaps, in the quiet spaces. So we can address that more after the break if you like. There are advantages to technology. On the other hand, people are getting addicted to it, where they're not able to sit still for even a minute. And I think that's a good place to start.
Okay, great. We go on a break, and we're back with Bobby Bickford. Thank you.
Success starts here. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. It's your world.
Join us every week for Paper Hope Next Generation. This is a program for all women, regardless of age, who want to connect and start having real conversations about tough subjects. None of our topics are off the table. From the pages of the Paper Hope blog to the internet radio airwaves, we'll talk about the topics that impact women with specific focus on relationships, family, community, and self. Join Paper Hope Next Generation live every Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Hope that you will be a part of the conversation.
Get ready to experience a more fulfilling lifestyle. Tune in to Direct Connect Empowerment with host Fee Mazanke. The show will feature guests who have changed their lives by using the Direct Connect coaching program or have worked with the same concepts that this program offers. By hearing how others have been transformed, you will be inspired to move forward. Direct Connect Empowerment with Fee Mazanke can be heard live every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Become a member of VoiceAmerica.com. It's easy and best of all, it's free. Start out by going to our homepage or any of our channels and click Register at the top. Once you've created an account and signed in, you can create your own custom library, opt into our newsletter, search by show, host, guest, or topic of interest, or browse millions of hours of content across all of our Voice America radio channels. Membership gets you more. Visit VoiceAmerica.com today to get started and tailor the listening experience to your taste.
Follow us on Twitter for more great ideas at Voice America Empowerment.
This is From the Boardroom to the Bedroom, the Protocol Praxis with Suzanne Z. Pedro. To reach the show today, give us a call at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You can also send us an email anytime to protocolpraxis@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Hi, everybody. I was talking with my guest, Amanda Turner, who has just this keen insight into, help me again, Amanda, Ayurvedic healing?
Yeah, Ayurveda.
Ayurveda, okay. Mm-hmm. And right before the break, we were just talking about how really our society is bombarded with all these technological advances, and they have some, obviously, some really good attributes, but then there's a downside, and especially for children growing up.
Yeah, well, you know, we were also talking earlier about, you know, the as a holistic approach to self-knowledge and self-healing, the emotions. And, you know, this comes into it too, because not just children, but all people, if people are so busy engaged with their games and technology, there's very little room for, there's no connection with others in there. So we're not having a vibrational connection with another human being. And there's also no room for the emotions. It's dampening and dulling that whole, you know, the world of feelings and emotions. It's dampening it down. And, you know, ultimately that causes pathology. It causes mental pathology. So it's a bit of a self-destructing machine we've got going on here.
Yeah, because I, you know, when you speak of video games, I just see it, the negativity, you know, with the killing, these children are learning how to, you know, war games. I mean, granted, back, you know, kids play G.I. Joe and stuff like that, but there's such more visual, audio, more sensual impact on the system.
Yeah, well, you mentioned on the break, Suzanne, while we were on the commercial break, that, you know, you used to go outside and play, and there was time in the day that was unscheduled time. And, you know, I think that's incredibly valuable. I think that's valuable for adults, too, for everybody, to let the mind wander, to have contemplative time. And that's where the creativity comes from, and a lot of insight, self-knowledge bubbles up, you know, it comes up, and it's important for kids, it's important for adults too. You know, before the break you asked me about where do you start on this, if you want to start on some journey of self-healing or knowledge, and some people say they don't want to, and I just wanted to address that too, because you know, maybe a spiritual life isn't for everybody, but I really think self-knowledge is, because unless somebody knows themselves, they really can't interact properly in the world with others, and that's causing a lot of damage, you know, across the entire planet.
Yeah, it seems like people are more egocentric, you know, focused on what's in it for me, you know, the entitlement generation, everything.
Yeah, well, that is shifting. I mean, we've seen quite a shift, you know, hopefully, at least in a more, well, in the cosmos is a shift towards a more heart-centered existence. But, you know, not everybody is caught up to speed with that. And so we definitely are moving into a more of a heart-centered approach. And that is absolutely crucial for the survival of the human race as a species. You know, right now there's a huge divide between this egocentric paradigm of achieving, competing, grasping what's in it for me, you know, this lack of sharing, lack of compassion. And on the other hand, we have, you know, a whole other movement of people that are getting that our existence depends upon it. And we have to start to embrace that. It's a very difficult shift for a lot of people.
Like I was talking to my earlier guest, Bobby, aromatherapy has been around ages. And, you know, even this healing that you have has been around way over 5,000 years. I found how far back it goes. Mm-hmm. You can tell me. But why hasn't the Western culture, I mean, it's like they think it's so much easier to, you know, pop the pill and, you know, go after the pharmaceutical brand with all the side effects. Ignore that.
Well, there's two things to that. One is that, again, people are looking outside of themselves to fix whatever is wrong inside. So they're reaching for drugs, you know, medications, pills. And then this is the other thing we've mentioned, which is this whole culture of grasping and this whole money-making industry that everybody is trying to come up with a method, a brand, it's mine. There's a lot of ownership, this whole illusion of ownership, like it's mine. And people want to live that illusion. They want to take ownership of something to make themselves affluential or famous or have money. And that's really, you know, it's a self-serving approach, which is actually destroying the world as a whole.
Let me ask you this, Amanda. It sounds crazy, but does money have a vibration?
Yeah, I mean, money has the vibration of energy, you know, so it's not a bad thing. There's nothing wrong with money. Money's a good thing, but it's the ownership, it's the illusion of ownership that's the problem. It's like all the money in the world belongs to everybody. It doesn't belong to just a small group of people. So there's a positive vibration to money, but it's the thoughts and the ideas around it that's the problem.
And
there's
also,
pathology,
like you said,
there.
The love of money, and it goes back to the love of self. You know, if you love money, it's like, what can money do for you unless you use it in a good, you know, in a you know, a charitable way, you know.
Yeah, it's how you use it. It's anything. It's how you use knowledge. You could use knowledge in a positive or a negative way. It's that discernment, and it all comes back, and in Ayurvedic terms, you know, this all comes back to the mind and the pathology of the mind. So it's like, how clear are those channels, you know? It seems like there's a lot of blockages and mental pathology, and once that is removed, which is part of the whole process in Ayurveda, is clearing the mind, clearing the body, you know, being very in touch with the spirit, which you cannot be if there are blockages in the body and the mind.
Well, Amanda, I thank you. With 1 minute to close,
it's time, 1 minute. So
I'd like for you to be able to tell people how they can get in touch with you, that you're able to do. Don't you do individual counseling, and just a little bit of how people can get in touch with you before we
go
close?
Well, my I can be reached on my my email is amanda@iuhealingarts.com. That's A-Y-U. HealingArts.com, Amanda@IUHealingArts.com. I can be reached there directly. And yeah, I do consultations, I do group work, workshops, and I also do a lot of nice movement workshops based on, you know, I mix it all up with my dance background as well. So there's a lot of interesting stuff to be done.
Oh my goodness. And
we can't do that over the phone. But,
I know. I mean, I can just imagine.
I'd like to get with you the next time.
But thank you for being my guest, and you gave so much, you know, enlightening information, and I welcome back anytime. Thank you, Amanda.
Thank you, Suzanne. This is wonderful.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Bye-bye, y'all.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in this week. Your host, Suzanne Z. Pedro, will be back again next Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, for another edition of From the Boardroom to the Bedroom, the Protocol Praxis. We hope you'll join us as well.